I've heard it said that honey is the only food that does not spoil. Now, before I got married and was a bachelor, I didn't eat very much honey, but I had a lot of food in my refrigerator that went bad at some point. And it's always aggravating if you have food that goes bad and you have to throw it away, especially if it was really good food. It's always a shame if you can't manage to eat that before it goes bad. Another thing that I've discovered is that it can really be worth your while to invest in a better product. I mean, sure, there are some things that are sold cheap and they work great, and that's fantastic. But most of the time, the more expensive product is more expensive for a reason. You know, the cheaper vacuum sweeper, you know, there's a reason that it's cheaper. It's because it sucks, or in that case, it doesn't suck. And with computers, I've really noticed that buying a cheaper computer just really isn't worth it. It may cost half as much, but it doesn't last half as long, and it doesn't work, well, maybe half as well while it works, but those things seem to die awfully quickly. At least that's my experience with them. So sometimes it's really worth your while to invest more to get something that's better, that's going to, yeah, really last. Now, don't worry. This is not going to turn into some infomercial where we try to sell you some products. Actually, we're wanting to go much, much deeper than some product that you can buy. And, you know, that brings us to the question of the evening: what really lasts? What really lasts in life? What is it that's worth investing, not just money in? I mean, money maybe also, but what's worth investing our time in? What's worth investing our heart and soul in, that we really commit our lives to it? What are the things that are really going to last? Now, I want to shamelessly steal a few thoughts and ideas from a book called Faulpwechsel. There's nothing ironic about me recommending a German language book in an English language service, is there? Anyway, really good book. I can really recommend it. Here, I'll put it right up here next to the honey. But in there, the author talks about the fact that in our lives, we all pursue many goals. If we say this is our goals, if we say this is our life, let's say we've got the crib. I know the art police would come and arrest me, but I'm not an artist. You got to deal with it. I think the tombstone will work out a little bit better. That's easier. Yes, I know it looks like something died here too, but this is actually birth. Here, I'll move that forward some so you can see that better. He talks in this book about how we all have a lot of goals. And really, goals are something that just happen. We don't necessarily have to plan them. Of course, we have goals that we plan as well, but a crying baby screams because it wants something to eat, or it wants a fresh diaper. And so it goes through life. You know, the kid sees that everybody else is walking, so it really, really works at learning how to walk. And then maybe it gets sent to school, but it wants out of school, so, you know, it puts the effort into being able to graduate at some point. And, well, you know, for the most part, there's some sort of profession we'd like to pursue, and so we get the job training or the college education that we need for that. So we set this goal that we want to get to that point. And then, you know, a lot of people want to start a family, you know, okay, get married, have kids, find a good job, maybe find a better job. A lot of people look forward to retirement. And you see that we're getting awfully close to the tombstone here. There can still be a lot of good goals that can come even though I haven't left a whole lot of space on this particular graphic, there can be a lot of goals that we can pursue all through our life. And there's all these different goals that they're just there, you know, because we want to achieve something. We want to attain something. And, you know, sometimes we want to take a trip somewhere. Sometimes we say, oh, that's, you know, that's the car that I really want to have. All these different goals that we have in our life. And, you know, goals are something that's always in the plural because we pursue so many of them through our life. But the, shall we say, counterpart to that is in the singular. And that would be our purpose. What is our purpose in life? What is it in life that really motivates us? What is it that's the reason that we live? That's not just something that we work on sometimes when we have time, but it's the motivating factor. It's the thing that gives us an orientation, a direction that we want to go in life. And see, purpose is in the singular because you can only travel one road at a time. Yes, you can switch roads, you can switch directions, but that means that you leave the road that you were on originally because you can only travel one road at a time. Purpose is always going to be in the singular. And the purpose is that thing that really gives our lives meaning. Now, an interesting irony is with the goals, you know, you always have to, at some level, you kind of have to be defining your goals, what it is that you want. The baby screams and, you know, you can give him toys all day long. You can sing songs with it and dance for it all day long, and it will keep screaming if it's hungry and you don't feed it. You know, there's a goal that it's trying to reach, and you can do everything else. It will keep screaming until you fulfill that goal. And so it is with so many other things that we have some sort of consciousness about what goals we're pursuing. But the interesting thing is, with the purpose of life, you can graduate from school, you can go to college, you can get a PhD, you can get married, you can have children, you can have a career, you can lead a, you know, multinational, multi-billion dollar company, and yet never have to define what your purpose is in life. It's not on any job application. It's not on any entrance exam. It's not on any exit exam that you will be required to define the purpose of your life. And yet reality shows us that there are times in life when the question of meaning, purpose or meaning, I'll just write that next to it here. When the question of what is the purpose or what is the meaning of my life comes at us in sometimes in a brutal way. If maybe you haven't achieved one of your major goals and you slip into a crisis, why am I even alive? Why am I doing this at all? A relationship falls apart. You lose your job. Or you come into severe financial stress. Interestingly, many people hit a wall of why am I here when they go into retirement. So many people see that as the goal. You know, when I reach retirement, then I can just do whatever I want. And then they sit there and you think about it. What do I want? It's actually kind of frightening, the statistics about how many people die shortly after going into retirement because they, you know, put the entire meaning of their life into their job. And when they didn't have that job anymore, they lost their purpose in life. Maybe they'd never defined it for themselves that way, but that turned out that way. Crises in life will confront us with the question, why am I here? What is the meaning of everything? What is my purpose? Why do I live? No one is going to be able to define your purpose for you. Other people can help you to find a direction. They can help you to find a path that will be good for you, but they cannot go that path for you. They cannot walk that path for you. You always have to walk that path yourself if you're going to define your purpose and pursue something specific. Being a good father or mother, a hard worker, a person who dedicates themselves to serving and helping others are all very good and noble goals. I don't want to be misunderstood here at all. Those are good things. They're well worth pursuing. Nobody would argue against these things. But we do have to ask the question, if we put our purpose or meaning, we find our purpose in life in being a good parent, what happens when the children grow up and move away? And they don't need us anymore like they used to? Sure, children can always use their parents. Children can always need their parents, but a grown child, I don't need my parents in the same way that I did 40 years ago. And so they are in a different phase of their lives because their children are not living in their home, reliant on their help day in and day out. We can give our best at our job. What about when we lose our job or go into retirement? What if we become incapable of doing our job? Just a couple weeks ago, I visited a family from our church who have a son who's 1 year younger than I am. So, you know, essentially no age difference. However, he has a disease that makes him incapable of using his muscles properly, or I say properly, as most of us can. Now, he cannot pursue a profession like I can. Does that mean that he's worth less? Is he worthless because he can't do things like I can? Or maybe I'm capable of doing some things, but goodness, there's people my age. Wow. I mean, I'm like nothing. I've managed to get nothing done in my life next to them. They've started companies and become multimillionaires and traveled the world and just done absolutely everything. Am I worth less? Am I worthless? If I define my purpose by those things, well, yes, then I'm distinctly in danger of being worth less. But as a Christian, I must say, I am convinced that any meaning that I ascribe to my life, which does not last beyond my own death, that's why I left some space here at the end too. I'll just put a question mark there. Any meaning that I ascribe to my life, any place that I look for the meaning and purpose of my life, that dies with me falls too short. If a foundation is not able to carry me beyond death, through my own death and beyond, then I am convinced that it was an insufficient foundation for carrying me through my life. I want to have a purpose defined which doesn't end here, that doesn't, literally run into a wall at this point, but a purpose, a meaning for my life, which will carry me beyond that. Jesus told his followers, in a crisis situation, a good friend of his had died, and his friends, especially the sisters of the man, Lazarus was his name, his sisters were just absolutely devastated at his death. And when Jesus got there 4 days after Lazarus had died, they said, "If you had been here, then our brother would not have died." And Jesus responded by saying, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Those are some pretty strong words. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. Jesus says, if you believe in me, if you trust me, even your own death will not rob you of meaning. Even your own death will not rob you of life. I offer you something that goes beyond, that is even more, yes, that is even more meaningful. And he offers us a foundation that cannot be taken. What is going to rob you of a foundation that carries you beyond death? What sickness, what loss, what pain is going to be more powerful than death itself? And even death itself is not more powerful than Jesus' promise. That's a foundation that I'm willing to build my life on, because that's a foundation that can stand up to the earthquakes that life throws at us time and again. I'm sure that you've all experienced those. That's a foundation that will stand up to all the problems and difficulties that we face. Now, don't get me wrong. Death is still a pretty serious matter. I'm not saying that, oh, that's all just lollipops and a walk in the park, you know, no problem. No, no. Death is still a very serious issue that we have to deal with. Jesus himself died a horrible death. I mean, he was killed in one of the worst ways that human beings have ever come up with for killing another human being. He died a horrible death, and death remains something very unpleasant in our lives. But it was not the last word for Jesus. And so, in his promise, if we trust him, it's not the last word for us either. Jesus offers us that which really lasts. In relationship with him, life is filled with meaning and purpose, which cannot be taken from us, even when we die. And that's sweeter than honey.